You're listening to She's the Business podcast.
Have you ever considered that there are things that you've learnt in your lifetime, especially when you were young and as a child, that have not set you up to be as successful as a business owner? Because we were never taught about being a business owner when we're young. We were actually raised to be really good employees. And no doubt there have been other things that we've learnt from our parents, from our families and friends and the general culture that we've grown up in, that have created ways of thinking that actually lend itself to being barriers to success when it comes to running and owning your own business, especially if you want a business that is free, freedom seeking, flexible, easy, and profitable. So where you can really live into that less work, more life mentality, then there are six things I believe we need to unlearn in order to be able to step into that place of the less work, more life lifestyle when you are a business owner. It's all coming up in this episode, so stay tuned.
Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Osborne. And in my 23 years of business and marketing, I've built many brands to become multi-billion dollar companies. And just in the last 10 years, I've built two online businesses of my own from my dining room table with two little babies running around at my feet. I've made it my mission to inspire you to get out of your own way and become the successful business owner who's living the lifestyle you really desire without all the hustle. This is She's the Business podcast, made by women for women. This is your weekly dose of motivation and inspiration.
Did you know that successful entrepreneurs don't think the way most people do? In fact, they think the opposite. They challenge the status quo. They don't ask for permission, and they work on the hard things instead of working hard. Now, my coach and mentor, James Wedmore, is a very well-known eight-figure entrepreneur in the online space. So if anyone should know about this, then he should, right? Well, James has written a short book called Hardwired for Entrepreneurship. And that gives you an inside look at how successful entrepreneurs actually think about starting, growing, and running a business. Because what you think about business determines what's possible for you. Now, you can get this ebook today absolutely free. Follow the link in the caption below and download either your ebook copy if you'd like to read, or an audio version if you prefer to listen. You can get both on the link in the show notes or in the caption below. If you're watching on your phone, you can just scroll down and grab that right there and then. And yeah, have a look. See what you might learn about yourself, what you might change suddenly to think differently that could have a huge impact on your business success. So enjoy. I hope you love it as much as I did. So you may not be aware, because I don't often talk about this, but I started my first online business back in 2010. Wow, that seems incredible. It's like 13 years ago today that I began my first online business. And at that time, I had about 15 years of marketing experience in all sorts of companies, large, small, some startups, some that I'd actually launched the business for them, brand new brands. And I'd a lot of digital marketing. So it wasn't scary for me to go into online business. In fact, I thought that I knew a lot of things. However, of course, 13 years of having online businesses has taught me a lot of things. And what I learned most is that we actually need to unlearn a lot of the stuff that we came into business thinking that we knew. So many things that we actually need to unlearn in order to become a successful business owner. And I've pulled out what I'd consider my top six. So I'm going to share those with you today because I think once we can unlearn these six things, your path to success or even greater success in your business is only going to be that much easier. So the first one is about what it is that we're meant to do in life. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up thinking that the correct way to do life as an adult and to be successful was to go to school, finish school, go to uni, get a degree, get a job, work your way up the ladder, you know, do all of the right things, toe the line, and make your way to the top. And that would be when you're like, yay, we've got there, I'm finally successful. Now, I'm not sure about your experiences, but I pretty much did that. I'll say, with a caveat of, I decided to go to the other side of the world after just 1 year of uni and go and live in Europe and travel around. And it took me about 9 years in total to finish my degree. Of course, not doing my degree for 9 years, but I did 1 year and then I came back and did another year. And then I finally finished it within my 10 years so that I didn't lose the credits that I had originally gained. But I did get the degree. So yes, ticked that box, ticked all of these boxes. And I got up to the position of head of marketing for an ASX 100 listed firm that was doing incredibly well. I'd started working at when it was a brand new startup. And I thought, you know what? I'm here. I'm kind of at the top of the ladder and I can see the view from up here. And it's not all that it's cracked up to be. What I could see were the executives, the other executives, you know, the CEO who I reported into and a few others, the board members, they did not have the lifestyle that I thought someone who was successful would have. They were really married to their jobs. Their families took a backseat. They would spend their weekends, their evenings working. They were at work and sure, they were successful in terms of what they earned. But if you look at their life, was that what I thought was successful? Well, no, I really had to redefine that in a big way. And so that's really the first thing that I thought, you know what, this whole idea that I've had ever since I was a young kid of the steps to success, I think need to really be blasted out of the water. Because I looked around and there were other people that I would classify as having the successful life, and they hadn't climbed the corporate ladder. They hadn't put in all of that work. They hadn't necessarily gone to uni. Maybe some of them had, but it wasn't a prerequisite. And so it was really ground shaking to me to think, well, I can break down all of those walls and redefine success and redefine what it means to be successful or to in order to have success in the first place. And it's so much more just about you and what you believe is possible for yourself and that what you're prepared to behind yourself, to back yourself in order to be able to do it. If you really want something, then there's always a way and there's more than one way. And that's maybe one of the other things. A little side unlearning is that there's always a right way to do it. Well, I've found in business especially that there's always more than one way, which means that there are many right ways of doing it. And the right way for you is actually the best way for you. It is not that there is a right way. There is no one single right way to do anything. There are so many different ways of doing it. And different people have different success with the ways that they choose. So it's not about asking what's the right way to do it. How do I do this? It's like, what is the best way for you? And the more that you lean into finding the best way for you that aligns with you, you know, leans on your strengths, fits in with your lifestyle, fits in with your requirements of how you're going to live, work, and breathe, then that is going to be the best way for you. It's not necessarily the best way for someone else, though. So here we've got numbers one and two, things that you need to unlearn. So number three, and this took me a while, was learning how to unlearn the way to write. Wow, when we go through school and university and even in, yes, as a job, there's a certain way that you're taught to write and the way that it's like, well, you say it this way to sound professional. And it's honestly the first thing that you need to unlearn when you go into business because there's nothing less engaging than going to a company website that feels very much like a standoff, uptight company website with absolutely no personality. There's no vibe. There's no energy there. It's very much dark blue, navy suit, striped tie, boring. The fastest way to lose anyone from your website is to write the way that you used to write in your corporate days or to write the way that you were taught at university is how you should write. When you're in business and you're wanting to engage with people who want to buy your stuff, and I'm talking really, this is relevant for any size of business. And I used to love, I worked at the National Bank, Royal Bank of Scotland, over in London, and I worked for the corporate banking department. I was the head of digital marketing for the corporate bank. And gosh, when I got there, it was very, very boring writing. And I decided, you know what, I think we need to speak a lot more to the real people who are reading this. Even though our customers are corporates and large corporates, they're still people. They don't want to be bored out of their pants reading about banking stuff, which on its own, it is a little bit boring. But let's actually bring a bit of personality and make it easy for them to read. And so doing that in the online space had such a great impact that we then was updating the branding for so many of the other banks' products as well. Now, this is relevant as a service-based business owner, you know, especially if it's mainly you, if you're the face of your brand, if you're speaking like an uptight, corporate, boring organization and not as a real human being, then it's going to be very, very hard for people to engage with you on your website. So you really want to sound like a human, you know, let your personality come out and actually speak like you would normally speak to people. It sounds so easy because we all talk and not many of us talk the way that we write. However, when we go to write, then all of this, you know, very formalized language seems to comes through your hand, down your pen and onto the page or onto, you know, through your typewriter, through your computer, onto the screen, doesn't it? So one of the first things that you should try to unlearn is writing the way that you used to write, and try to learn to write how you speak. Actually speak to real humans, regardless of whether it's a consumer you're speaking to, another business owner, or, you know, maybe your clients are a huge organization, it's still a person at the other end of the screen who's reading what it is that you're writing. So it doesn't matter that the buyer is part of a large organization, you can still talk to them as a human. That was number three. So number four, we need to unlearn what others think about us, caring what others think about us, the thinking that it matters what other people think about us. We really need to unlearn that. Because here's the thing, you're never going to know what someone thinks about you unless they tell you. And most of the time, people aren't going around just sharing whatever's on their mind and telling you what they think. Yes, of course, there are some random people every now and then who might do that, but people might think of you if they like your hair or not like your hair, or if they think that you've got too much sun or too much makeup on. Who cares? What does that even matter? If someone is sitting there thinking those things, then they're probably not your ideal customer because they're not actually listening to you. They're just being a surface level judging person, and that's really unnecessary. We don't need to worry about it because it's not the reason why someone buys from you in the first place. So caring what people think, let's unlearn that that's important. People don't need to like you, as in they don't need to like you like their best friend or something like that in order to buy from you. When we say that people need to like you, it's like they need to feel like you're on the same page. You've got an affinity there. There's a connection between you. They don't need to like you thinking, oh, well, that's great. She's got the latest trend of color on, or she's amazing. I really want to look like her. They don't need to think that in order to buy from you as a service provider. So we can just detach some of that need that we have to look a certain way or to be a certain way or act a certain way that we've grown up with through that culture that we have of looking at models and magazines and thinking that we all need to look like those, because that's not what business is about. Nobody learns the consumer inside us, because when it comes to your business, thinking like the consumer can have some major, major drawbacks. And I actually was recording a podcast episode just earlier this morning where I went into a lot more detail talking all about this, and it will be on the Small Business Made Simple podcast soon with my lovely friend Jen Donovan. We were talking about why thinking like a consumer leads you to underpricing, undercharging for your services, and to really worrying about price competition, because we've kind of subconsciously been brought up to think that people compare prices between services. Like you compare your jars of peanut butter in the supermarket. You know, which jar will I buy? If they're pretty much the same kind of thing, but two things that are the same, that give us the same outcome, and it's just a different brand and maybe a slightly different price. So price is really one of the only differentiators that we can use in order to buy it, unless we have a very strong affinity. You create your pricing strategy, and how you price can mean that you might end up looking at your competitors and trying to price yourselves as if you're sitting on the shelf next to each other and someone's choosing between you, because that's not actually happening in real life. And if it is, it actually means that you need to do some more work on your marketing strategy so that you're on your own shelf. You're not even on the shelf at all, because you really should not be thinking about your service as a product. You know, stop treating it like it's a product, because it is absolutely not. The main difference between a product and a service is that with a service, you're buying the person delivering you the service. You're buying that relationship. You want you to be the one who helps me with this. And the beauty of that is nobody else is you. So they can't compete with you. They can't compete even on price, because who's the buyer has to make a decision that the other person is the person that they want to have that service delivered from, or the other business that they want to work with because they like them better. It's not about the price, because you're not the same. They're not going to have the same experience. So let's unlearn this consumer thinking. Especially if you have any type of service-based business, it is not doing you any good at all if you're thinking like a consumer when it comes to setting your strategy. Now, the final one is one that I absolutely love and something that we work on as well. You know, when clients come and join me in my program, Business Jam, yes, we get rid of the consumer thinking. Yes, we get rid of the thinking that there's only one way of doing something. Because I love to show that there's many different ways to get to an outcome. One of the key ones that I find has the biggest impact for my clients is unlearning the employee thinking that we've all grown up with, and we've kind of taken it on without even realizing. But we've grown up in a way where we think you get paid for your time, and that it's your time that is worth something. And how it has a price on it. We also think that there's, you know, you work hard and you get rewarded for it. Work harder, you get more reward. And if you work, you know, more jobs or whatever, that's how you gain more wealth. And we've grown up in this way of thinking that it's about how hard you work to how much you earn or how successful you're going to be. Yet, I bet you can think of somebody who works a lot less than you and is making more money or is more successful, especially when we're in business, because it's actually not about how many hours you put in. It's not about how hard you work. It's not about any of that that leads to your success. So we need to really unlearn that. Instead of looking at your business like you look at a job and thinking, well, I need to be paid for the amount of hours I'm putting in, look at your business as an object or a tool for making money. Your business makes money. Your business pays you, yes. But your business is a tool that you can use to create and earn money for the business. Yes, there are going to be expenses that you incur to create that, but they are not an expense in that sense of money going out. It's actually an investment. So you think, well, I'm going to spend in order to be able to make some. And as long as what you're spending in the business to make the money is a lot less than what you're bringing in, then those are wise investments that you're making. And those have got really nothing to do with the time that you're putting in. So we stop calculating the pricing of our services based on the amount of time that we're spending. We stop charging by the hour, the minute, the second, or whatever else time-based charge. That is basically just creating another job for yourself where you're an external contracted employee of somebody. They're paying you for your time. Once you unlearn that, you'll actually unleash the ability to make so much more money in your business, because it's suddenly not bound to you, it's not bound to your time, and it's not bound to you working harder. Look at your business and think, well, I've got a platform here. It's a living, breathing thing, and it's something that can generate income. Mm-hmm. So how else could you generate it? what else could you do within the business that can bring in more revenue? And what might you need to invest in order to help you bring in that revenue? When you start looking at your business as separate to you, it's an absolute game changer. So let's unlearn that employee thinking, because it's really holding you back. It's doing you no good. And, you know, I remember when I finally had this penny drop, and it would have been about 8 years, I think, into my experiences being an online business owner. So I'd, you know, started in 2010. It was probably around 2018, 2019 that finally I realized this. And what an amazing I experienced once I started thinking of my business as something that can earn money as opposed to me something that earns money. It really changed everything. So there you go. There are my 6 things that you need to unlearn that have been programmed in during your life at some point. These things are often programmed in to all of us. You need to unlearn them so that you can really step forward, so you can raise yourself up to this next level in your business and to be able to achieve what you know that you can achieve, what you have as infinite possibility. You won't be able to get there while you're still holding on to these old, unhelpful thoughts and beliefs that we've had built into us since we were young. So there you go. Hope you've enjoyed today's episode. As always, I'd love you to reach out and connect with me. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook. So come and find me, come and say hi, and let me know what you've loved about the podcast, about this episode in particular. And yes, I will talk to you again next week. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of She's the Business Podcast. I hope that you've been enjoying it as much as I have in creating the content to bring to you. So I really appreciate you being here. I appreciate your presence and your attention. Now, if you love the podcast, or maybe you just loved today's episode, then I would absolutely appreciate it if you would go to Apple Podcasts, scroll down, hit the 5 stars, and then leave me a short review about what it was that you really enjoyed in this episode, or maybe in the podcast overall. And when I receive those reviews, then I love to give those reviewers a shout out on my future podcast episodes. So you never know, you may hear your name getting a shout out in a future episode if you do that. So thank you once again for your time, and I'll see you next time on She's the Business.